Well, as we turn to reflect on it, I'd like you to ponder for a moment. Ponder this for a moment. What are the things that are hard to do in isolation? What are the things that are hard to do by ourselves? Well, I got thinking about this. Perhaps you maybe have some examples that come to your mind. Here are some of the ones that came to me. I think tennis is pretty hard to do by yourself. You could give it a good shot, but you would have to be really quite quick to hit it over the net, get round to the other side of the net, hit it back. Maybe you could do that once if you were really fit, but to get there, I don't think you could do it. Tennis is pretty hard by yourself. What about moving house? I think I would be filled with dread at the thought of moving house by myself. Isn't it great that we're able to help Beatrice out as she gets ready to flit? Other examples. Last night, Lynn and I were out with friends for dinner, and we had pizza from a well-known pizza establishment. Now, it was great big sharing pizzas. Now, I reckon I could probably give it a good shot, but there would probably be repercussions if I was to do so. But that would be quite hard to do in isolation. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I could probably do that. I think it's pretty good that we share these things, that we do it together with other people. Well, food and sport and moving house aside, what are the other things that's hard to do in isolation? What about expressing our Christian faith? Learning and growing as disciples? I think experience would tell us that that's pretty hard to do by ourselves. If we lock ourselves away, if we don't share with one another the things that we're going through, the challenges that we're facing, the things that upset us, the things that burden us, I reckon that's something that's pretty hard to do in isolation. And many have tried. Another thing, of course, is sharing our Christian faith. Telling others about Jesus. That's quite hard if you're just on a one-person crusade, if you take it all on your shoulders, when in actual fact, we all share in that together. Now, for all the endorsements that I could come up for all the examples that I could conjure, for things that are good to do together, whether that's food-related, spiritual, or otherwise, for all those examples, as we look at Jesus' prayer here in John 17, the reality is that this is Jesus' word for us. This is his prayer for his disciples. As the disciples were getting ready for everything that would unfold, as we would see them both fretful and faltering and running away, Jesus' prayer is that they would be together. It was a prayer that longed for unity amongst the disciples, that they would be as one. It was a prayer that would go on to stress the need for others to come to that unity, though, to pray for those who don't yet know Jesus. So here's where I want to suggest we go this morning. And hopefully I've got a slide that details that coming up. I want to suggest this morning that we look at this prayer of Jesus, that we look at the things that he called us to, and that we suggest that we can be together, each and every one of us, you and I are one, that we can be together, and in that we gather. We gather others, others who have never even heard the name of Jesus, or others who have heard it only as a swear word. We are together as one, gathered in all that Christ shows us and teaches us and blesses us with. And we go and we gather others. We share that wonderful truth with a hurting world, with people who don't know Jesus. There's something profound as we look at this wonderful prayer. This prayer where Jesus calls us to be together and to gather others. So firstly, thinking about being together. Have you ever had the conversation? Have you ever had, it'd be ironic that it's the minister's phone that goes off, isn't it? I've left mine through in the hall, so yeah. Have you ever had the conversation with someone in when they find out that you're a Christian or that you go to church? The conversation normally starts at the metaphorical arm's length as soon as they discover it. But they're very quick, are they not? The conversation often goes, they're very quick to establish that they have their own thing. They have their own thing that they do with other people, and that's their thing to do. Whether it's an affiliation with a sports club, whether it's some noble and charitable deeds that they do, and all to the benefit, they make it very clear that they have their own thing. And that thing that you do in that building, that's just your thing. That's just a group of people that get together around a kind of similar idea. Maybe they dress kind of similar and they sing similar songs and they say things in unity like the Lord's Prayer. They say, that's your thing that you do together, and I have mine. Here's the people that I socialize with, and here's the people that you socialize with. The conversation goes on, does it not? Have you had conversations similar? I know that I have had. Well, perhaps we could look at that. You could think and you could pretend to be an anthropologist or whatever else and look at the way in which people like to gather together around identities and all the rest. Yesterday when we had that lovely weather, unlike today, there was lots of cyclists out where we were. They were all together. They all had their uniform. You could look at what makes people think that it's great to wear Lycra and cycle around together in big bodies of people. Perhaps you could look at these things and you could study the anthropology of it, the philosophy behind it, and there's many that have. There's many people that would want to put us into that pigeonhole that we're just together and that's the thing that we do. Well, when we look at this prayer, and I've got a verse coming up on the next slide. When we look at this prayer, when we look at what Jesus said, is it that we're just getting together because we enjoy one another's company? Is it that we're just getting together because we've got nice biscuits after the service? There's something far more profound going on. Here's a wee snippet from Jesus' prayer. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are as one. Jesus called them to unity and he gave them the example of him and his Father who were one. Those who knew that special relationship. Well, as we read that verse and the other verses in this prayer, we start to realize that it's not just getting together because we enjoy one another's company. Though that's a good thing and it's nice to get on. We get together because there is something profound going on here. But the gathering point is that we are people who accept that Jesus is God's Son. We are people who accept that this man Jesus who walked the earth all those millennia ago was the Son of God. Not that he was some special figure, some nice speaker or all the rest that people might want to put the labels on, but that he was the Son of God and that he came to us. The disciples in the chapter before we get to this prayer, we've been building up and building up, and there's many points where they just don't get it. They don't understand. Well, as we get closer to the Easter narrative, Jesus starts to speak so plainly. In chapter 16:29, it says this. Then the disciples said, now that you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech, now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. And then it says this: "This makes us believe that you came from God." Here was people who had started to believe that Jesus was someone special. That's someone at the door. Here was people who started to believe that Jesus was God's Son. Now, we've been looking at what happened with Peter and the other disciples. We've been considering how they scattered. It said this: their faith was certainly not exemplary. We know that. But they did believe, and they did accept that what Jesus said was true, that he was the Son of God. These are people that believed. Here's what gathers us. Here's what calls us together. Here's the foundational identity. People who put their hands up and say, "Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And as we start with that perspective, we go into all sorts of different things as we encourage and as we bless one another. Think of the challenges that we might face. Think of the turmoil that we might come across. Jesus' prayer was to uphold them even when they face the evil one. Think of the 23rd Psalm there as pointed out in your order of service. Perhaps you might want to look at that later. No matter what we're facing, we're together. We're together as people who know that Jesus is Lord. There's the whole notion of God's name, the authority that that carries, the fact that they stand firm in this. Then, as we see from this verse here, we have an example of what that unity looks like. The fact that Jesus and God are one. Unity is important. We've got a wonderful example of that. We've got a wonderful example here, but we've got another wonderful example of that coming up shortly, when we will welcome 280 kids into this building. Now, I reckon I could probably give it a good shot if I was to do it myself. But there's lots of things that wouldn't happen. Here's the wonderful reality, though. We're doing that together. There's lots of different churches from across our Broth. There's lots of different church leaders, church members. There's elders, there's chaplains. And we are getting together. We are getting together, and we're doing something special and profound as we welcome these primary siblings in, that they might learn more about the message of Easter. When we are together, something special happens. Well, if it's great to be together, what about the notion of gathering other folk? What about the notion of willing that other people would come and join and be a part of this as well? How are we going to gather? I'd like to interject with a wee story about gathering people. A story that went a little bit wrong. A few years back, my brother was down in London for a while, so Lynn and I went to visit him. Now, I was trying my hardest to pretend to be cultured and all the rest, so I went to the Tate Modern Art Gallery, and there was lots of interesting things going on. The best thing about it was I didn't have to pay, so I thought that was quite good as well. Now, whilst I was there in the gallery, it was a busy Saturday, so there was lots of people in the main kind of turbine room doing lots of different things. But one of the things that was happening was they had these living art installations. I don't know if that's the technical name, but I'm going to use it anyway. There was people who were basically in a big, what can only be described as a blob. They were kind of interweaving their arms together and making a kind of art display. And they were artists, and it was really quite interesting, actually. Maybe I'm being a bit flippant talking about it, but it was genuinely interesting to look at and to observe and to watch the different ways in which people looked at. Here's the thing. It was so interesting and engaging that a member of the public thought that they would join in. They thought, that looks really good fun. That looks really good fun, kind of weaving in with one another and doing all the rest, being part of a living art sculpture. And so they thought they would join in. So they moseyed on along and they started to weave in with all the other folk that were there. Well, very promptly they were asked to leave. That was the outcome of that story. But here's the reality. There are things to which we want to belong. There are things that look appealing, that people want to join in and be a part of. Again, we could look back to some of the identities that I mentioned earlier, the things that people might want to gather around, whether it's a sports club, an event, or whatever else. These are all good things. Perhaps even we could stray into looking at these things within the church, how we can make people want to come along. Whether it's a website that's clear and helpful, a Facebook page that is engaging, a nice warm building and nice coffee after the service. These are all good things that help us gather and make people feel welcome. They're important. But if we stop at that, then we start to sell ourselves short. Because you see, the foundational message, the thing that was gathering the people, the thing that was gathering the disciples, was people who had come to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They'd come to believe and they'd come to accept that. Not a building, not a denomination, not any other thing that we might gather around. Rather, people who come to know that Jesus is the Son of God. There's our mission. There's our call to be people who are one, who gather others to be a part of that. Now, yes, the nice building, yes, the warm welcome, yes, the website and the Facebook and all the rest help. But ultimately, it's showing that we are one, that we are one together. I think the best way that we can do this is to show that we've got a living relationship ourselves, to show that we know what it's like to trust that Jesus is the Son of God, to live that out in the highs and lows of our life, to live that out in the challenges that we face, so that others that might see that would believe. Others that might see that would have a hope and a confidence that no matter what's going on in their lives, they can come and belong. They can come and be a part of something that is like no other. They can come and be together. As we wind up this morning, here's my challenge to you. What are the different things that we're going to face? Now, I don't think many of us are going to try a one-person tennis match. Perhaps we might think about trying to eat a big pizza or move house or all the rest. But beyond that, what are the things that we are going to face? What are the things that we're going to face in this week, in this year, in the season of life that we find ourselves in? What are the different things that we are going to face? How are we going to be encouraged that we know that we are together in that? That we are together as one. That we share that with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That we share in the highs and lows of life. Here's a reminder to us. A reminder that we can call on one another for help. Also that we can encourage one another. Well, as much as there is that challenge, there is also the challenge that we might be focused to gather others. And so my closing question is, will you join Jesus in this prayer? This prayer echoes on to this very day, that there would be others who hear of Jesus and would come to know that relationship. Will you join Jesus in that prayer? Praying for those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who are caught in desperation, those who are crippled by isolation. Will you join Jesus in this prayer? praying that they would come to know. Jesus prays that all of them may be as one. Let's rejoice as we think of those who will be gathered to share with us. Let's pray together.